Good morning to one and all. A little bit of interaction with you right now. I want to ask you, and you can answer back if you feel led to it. The first Thanksgiving, what did you think, how did you think, how do you picture it? You can interact with me if you want to. Just let me know, how did you picture the first Thanksgiving? How did you picture it in your mind? Great. How do you picture it? How did you picture it?
Cold.
Could be cold. How do you think that they, how do you think that the first Thanksgiving, how do you think that it was, that it did? Now, I know our history books portray it, so I know you've heard it. I know you've seen the story. How the, what? The pilgrims and the Indians, and they gathered together to give thanks because of the bounty that the land had given them, right? And I don't dispute that whatsoever. But I want to tell you when I think the first Thanksgiving and what it was happened. And it involves the pilgrims. And whenever they landed here, whenever they first got here, and before they went on shore, they wrote a thing called the Mayflower Compact. You guys remember that, right? I mean, and I'm not giving you history lessons. I'm just telling you. You all know what I'm talking about pretty much, right? What they done whenever they first seen land, whenever they did this, and this is what they wrote, and it said there, and this is William Bradford, he's the one who wrote it. They came to anchor in the bay, which was a good harbor, and they blessed the God of heaven and brought them over the fast and the furious oceans and the sea of trouble, and they read from the Bible, and this is what they did, and they said, let them therefore praise the Lord, because he is good and his mercies endure forever. I want to tell you that whenever these weary people that had been on this ship had got there, and they, before they come on land, they got down and they gave God thanks and they give him praise for giving them a safe trip before they even stepped on the land. And I want to tell you, I believe that was the first Thanksgiving. I believe it was right then and there. And I believe, you know, and that's just me. And that's just the way I feel about it. But you know what? Praise God. Praise God for them. And that's why when they anchored, these women, they got on their knees praising God for bringing them over there. To me, and I'll say this, and I believe this, that was the first one. And Thanksgiving is about praising God, is it not? It's about thanking Him no matter the circumstances you're in. I'm going to be over in Psalms, the 18th chapter here in just a little bit. The simple title of my message this morning is, Thank You, God. Amen? Thank you, God. I've heard people here this morning say, but that is the simple message of it is. It's just thank you, God. Thank you. And I want to give you some reasons according to the way David in the 18th Psalms, the way he said it, for delivering us and praising God. I want to be able to say that. Well, you know what? Those pilgrims were giving thanks for the storms that they had faced. They're all the way over here. And here there was no doubt. There was no doubt that here that a Christian, you know, sometimes as Christians we doubt God. We doubt Him sometimes. And you know that He delivers us from some of the most powerful storms in our life. Sometimes we put it upon ourselves, do we not? You know, God brings us through something sometimes and delivers us from it. And sometimes, you know, we want to put it upon our own strength. And we want to say, well, you know, God, you know, I know you're there, but you know what? I did this. And I did, you know, I has nothing to do with it, right? No, I has nothing to do with it. You may be facing a powerful storm in your life right now, and I want to tell you something. Hold on, because God's going to bring you through. I believe that. You are not forsaken. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 tells us, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want you to know something this morning. Those pilgrims went through a lot before they come over here, all the troubles that they faced, but they still found it within themselves to praise God even after they went through all this stuff. 2 Corinthians 4:14 and 18. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly external weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, listen to me. I don't know what you're going through here this morning. God has impressed it upon my heart to let you know this morning, though, that we can still be thankful to God no matter the circumstances that you are going through here today. I don't know where your heart's at. I don't know where your thought process is at this morning. You know what? I don't know a whole lot about you other than that you're here on this day in November. You're here in this church this morning. And praise God, I want you to know that the God that we serve, you can be thankful for Him this morning. I know that. I'm telling you, God can bring you through. I'm telling you that. I don't doubt it. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God I serve can bring you through anything. We know the story of when the pilgrims started out. They started out with two ships, right? They started out with two, but before they got very far, one of them started leaking, so they only ended up coming over on one of them. And you know what they did with the people that was on the other ship? They put them onto the Mayflower. 132 people on that little ship. 132 people. I went up to Plymouth, and we went up there, and we've seen the replica, the exact replica of the Mayflower. I want to tell you, I don't know how you could get 32 people on that thing, not alone 132. I don't know how they did it. It was only through the grace of God. And you know what? Halfway across it, we all know the story. The main beam in the ship cracked. And they all wanted to turn around, but the ship's captain said, no, we're going to go on through with this. And they lifted it up with a metal screw that they'd had, that they just got, actually. You don't think God's plan is not in something? You know, they lifted it up. You know, they faced many fierce storms. They got seasick. A lot of them were sick. There was no bathroom facilities. There was hardly no privacy whatsoever. But the time that they got over here to this country, which almost 2 months exactly, almost, 2 months exactly, two of them had died and two were born. You know what? Praise God for His glory. Thank God. And they thank God for all that. Yes, God brought them through many storms, literally and figuratively. And I want you to know, you may be going through the storms today in your life. I don't know whether it's literally or figuratively in your life, but I want you to know God is still there. He's there. He's never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, no matter what you think, no matter how much the devil wants to, how much the devil wants to put it, betray that God has left you. I want you to know He's still there. These people could praise God, and I want you to know we should be able to praise God this morning also. When they seen land, they praised God. Listen to me. You know the thing about a storm? A storm passes. We know that. Even the big storms, all these things that we think out here as well, those storms will pass. And what do you think when you get on the other side? The sun will shine again. And I want you to know that if you're going through something in your life today, I want you to know something. The sun's going to shine again in your life. It's going to. It will do that, yes. It will do that. And praise God for that. Praise the Lord. When they see land and they praise God, they said, that's all they were still thankful. Can we say that about that after we go through the storms we go through? Who said the message today, I want it to be directed exactly to the Christians who are sitting here in this church in the sound of my ears this morning. Listen to me. This message is for you. And I want to tell you, why should we be thankful to God? Why should we be thankful to God? We're going to be over in Psalms, the 18th chapter. And you know what? We're going to read these. I'm going down through the whole thing of the 18th of Psalms. I'm just get bits and pieces of it, so I'm not going to just put one particular part of it as my verse of Scripture this morning. But I want you to read with me, and I want you to read it with me. Read out loud with me, Psalms 18, 1 through 3, so that then we'll say a word of prayer, and we'll get started. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm going to paint you a picture here that David painted. I want you to, whenever we're done here this morning, you're going to say to me, oh, that's right. That's right. That's the kind of God that I serve. Amen. We're going to do that. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart again. Lord, I thank you for this time of year, but Lord, you know what? I am thankful 365 days a year, Lord. I am so thankful for you and how that you lifted me up and set my feet upon a solid rock one day. And I want to praise you for that. For God, you truly are a God that loves us, a God that thinks so much of us. You know, the world may betray you as not, but Lord, I know better. I know that you are God that loves us. And Lord, I pray, Father, this morning that you would take this message, Lord, that you would put it upon the hearts of the people here this morning, Lord, and that, Lord, we could look to you for our strength and our guidance. And Father, that we could always be a thankful people. And amen. Amen. We know from Old Testament scripture that, you know what? That David was, you know, he had a lot of enemies, right? David had a lot of enemies. He did. And you know what? So he was thankful for God delivering him from all his enemies. You know what? Even his own son. Even his own son Absalom. Remember, he tried to take over the kingdom. He had a lot because of that. God had delivered him. And then praise God. All knows how many times, though, that David said, my. In the first two verses alone, that's why I wanted you to read it. He said, my, 9 times. And you know what that emphasizes here? You know what that means? That David had a personal relationship with God. He had a personal relationship with him. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you do not realize that you can have a personal relationship with God, I want you to know something. You get up out of your seat here. I don't care if it's now. You come up here and let's talk to God because God wants to have a personal relationship with everyone in here. Amen? He wants to have it with Tana. He wants to have it with Jeff. He wants to have it with Sean. He wants to have it with everybody in here. Raise your hands right now. Raise them. I want you to know God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He, just like David right here, whenever he said that right there, he said, Lord, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. Listen to me. That's personal. And I want you to know something. He's Dave Long's rock. He's Dave Long's fortress. He's yours this morning. I've got a personal relationship with the same God that David served. And you do too. You can have that this morning. He is that for us, every one of us. Praise God. He's emphasizing that personal relationship with God with David. To David, God was not just some far-off being. Sitting up in the clouds, sitting on his throne with some beard, looking down, and you know he was afraid and afraid of him and didn't know him. David knew the God that he was talking about here. To the contrary, he had that type of relationship with God because God had given him the opportunity to know him personally. And I want you to know something here this morning. God's given you that opportunity today. He's given it to you through his son Jesus. Amen. He's giving you that opportunity. David took that opportunity, and he ran with it. What are you waiting on? If you're sitting here today and you don't think that you know him as your personal Savior, what are you waiting on? What can you not understand that God loved you enough? He wants to wrap his arms around you. He loves you. And you know what? Can we not be thankful for that this morning? David was thankful, and I'm thankful for it. Let's ask ourselves, do you have that personal relationship with God and his son Jesus? That is something that only you can answer if you're sitting in the sound of my voice this morning. I can't look inside you. I can't open up your heart and your soul and look in there and see what kind of relationship with God you have. Only you know that. And you know this morning what you have. What does it mean to know the Creator of the universe? Tell me what that means to you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as a Revelation song said, what does it mean for you this morning? The Savior of all mankind. Do you know that this morning? Praise God. He has given each and every one of us the opportunity to know him personally. I'm going to tell you what. Whenever I get on my knees to pray at night, whenever I get into the Word of God, I can have that personal, because the Spirit of God chose me. Then listen, hey, you're still part of his day. You're still there. Our God is a God who's not far off. Hebrews 4:14 and 16 tells us, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is passed into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast unto our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Do you understand that? Whenever you hurt, he hurts. Whenever you're happy, he's happy. We have a high priest that can be touched. with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. He knows what it was like to be tempted the way that we are tempted. He knew what it was like. Let us therefore, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture about, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Let us, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen to me. You don't have to just go wimpily up there. Listen, you can get on your knees and say, God, I know you are the creator of all heaven. I know you sent your son. And you know, God, I need help from you today. And we can go there boldly. We don't have to go up there and just go. And we can go there and say, God, listen, I know you can answer prayer. We can do that because we serve a God. We serve a God who loves us, and we should be thankful for that. And it was already mentioned here this morning. The reason we can do that is, it's over in Matthew, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That red veil being rent in two, like he said, without the holies of holies, it was ripped open. We can go to the Holy of Holies now. We can do that. Thank God. When you get to say your meal on Thursday, and you know what, you're with your family and stuff, you praise Him and thank Him that we can go to His throne of grace boldly. We don't have to wait. You don't have to come to me and ask me to pray for you. You know what? If you want to pray, you can get on your knees and say, God, I'm coming to you. Here I am. And praise God, we can do that. When this happened, folks, God's telling us we didn't need anybody. We didn't need anybody to stand in for us. We don't need to go to the priest or the pope and have them pray for us. You don't need to go to the preacher or the deacons to have them pray for us. You can go yourself. Our God walks and He talks with us just like He did with Adam. Do you understand that? He come to Adam, He said, walk with Him in the cool of the day. And I want you to know something. God walks and talks with us every day. If we're willing to just listen to what He's trying to say and the direction He's trying to take, He talks to us through His Word. He can talk to us through the Holy Spirit. God does it every day. He does it. Folks, we should be willing to do cartwheels because of that. Amen? We should be able to do cartwheels because of, we listen. David's first words were, in that first verse, he said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Are you thankful that God is your strength this morning? Are you thankful for that? David knew that God was his strength. He knew all the victories that he won were because of God. He knew that all the things that he had overcome were because of God Almighty. He knew that, not by his power. This is a lesson that everybody in this church and the sound of my voice could learn, and everybody out here, no matter where they're at, could learn it. In Psalms 121:1 it says, and I will lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. I don't know about you, but my help doesn't come from Solvay. My help doesn't come from the state of West Virginia or the government. My help comes from the God that I serve.
Amen.
That's where my help comes from. If we are depending on ourselves, we are just like, remember the over in Numbers 13 about the spies that were sent out? Remember that? The 12 of them were sent out. When they all come back, two of them said, yes, we can do this. But if we're counting on ourselves, we're just like those other 10. Because you know what they said? When they got back from their mission, Numbers 13, 22, and 23, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Grasshoppers don't win very many battles. And I want to tell you something here this morning. If you're here and you're like those 10 and you're thinking that, you know what, I can never do this on my own, you're exactly right. You can't do it on your own. God had told them that they were going to have this land, and you know what, there's only 2 of the 12 that believed it. And I want you to know something. Don't be like those people. Don't be like those 10. You know, it's not of your power. It's not of your might. It's up through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of our own. Grasshoppers will never win many. If you're looking at the storms you're facing right now, just like these 10 looked at it right there, I want to tell you something. You're not going to win very many battles if you're doing it that way, right? Of our own strength, we're going to, throughout the Bible, we see God trying to teach us. Trying to teach us, listen, that through Him we can be victors through anything that we face if we do it through Him. We can do that. Whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's marital issues, whether it's family problems, I want you to know something. The God that I serve is the one that we can put our strength, our trust in, and we can be the ones to overcome. God's telling us not to rest on our own strength in Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You cannot do it. No matter the armies that we have on our side, we're not going to do anything unless God is in it, right? Unless we depend on him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Do we understand that very simple part of that verse right there? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to me. When we put God and let God use us in our lives, no matter how weak we are, we think we are spiritually, God will use us in a mighty way. He will do that because God wants to do that with us. He wants to make sure that we know that it's not on our own. We can't do this stuff on our own. Are you thankful for God for his strength, that everything does not depend on your ability? I'll tell you what, I'm glad nothing depends on my ability. I'm telling you right now. I want you to understand that. David also said, the Lord is my rock. This scripture is so outstanding. This scripture, it said, what is meant by rock? It's meant a crag. A crag is C-R-A-G, a crog. What it is in the rocks, what it's saying. What it is a steep, rugged place. You know what David is painting the picture of here? What he's saying was, and I thought this was so awesome whenever I got to studying this, he's saying that he's standing upon this rock. All these enemies are down below him. And he said all these enemies are down there and they're trying to get to him and they can't. He's like he's sticking his tongue out at them. That's what David was saying. I thought that was so amazing when I read it. I shouted because, praise God, that's the picture he's trying to paint for us. He's telling us, listen, if we stand upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, I want you to know, all hell cannot assail against us. Praise God, he's standing there. He said the enemies were out of reach. Out of reach. Nothing can get to us as long as we stand upon the rock. Praise God, do you believe that? I believe it. Romans 8:37-39. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that hath loved us. For I am persuaded, now listen to this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or for any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you see? Can you not shout and thank God for that? Listen to me. As long as you stand upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, you will not be. The enemy cannot get to you. It cannot. As long as we stand upon the solid rock. Are you thankful that God is our rock? Are you thankful for that? When you come this Sunday, Thanksgiving, be thankful for God that he is our rock. David said he was our fortress. Remember the old time Westerns? Where did they go to get away from the Indians and all the bad guys? They would go into that fort. The fort represented safety. That's what it represented, right? That's what they did. Walls and other types of fortifications that can keep the enemy out. These stand between us and the enemy. David said in Psalms 125:2, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, listen, so the Lord is around and about his people from henceforth forever. Hey, praise God this morning. You've got that hedge around you. Do you see that? As long as you stay in the fort, as long as you stay in the fortress, we have the hedge around us. We have it. And that's only through Jesus Christ. Do you know why we have so much trouble sometimes? We get out of the fortress. We get off the rock. And we decide we're going to try to do this thing on our own. And when we do that, the enemy can get to us. Are you not thankful that we serve a true God who will surround us and protect us? Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Praise God. Praise God. May I add that the rock, you know what? They only help us. That rock and that fortress only help us as long as we stay upon it. As long as we stay within those walls. That's the only, if you're getting beat up spiritually and emotionally because you have refused to stand on the rock and outside the walls of protection, why don't you come on back? Come inside. You don't, why don't you get inside? Why don't you get on that high, high upon that rock? And you know what? Stand there and tell the devil and the enemies of God, listen to me, I'm here. You cannot touch me as long as I stand here with him. David says, God is my deliverer. He is our deliverer. How many times God delivered David from Goliath to the lion to the Philistines? He delivered him many times. Did he not? Listen, God is our deliverer, folks. He is our deliverer. You know, he delivered us the moment that we got saved. But do you understand that he never quit then? Praise God, Beb. He never quit then. He's still delivering Dave Long. He's still delivering you, whether you know it or not. He's still our deliverer. And he wasn't, you know what? I don't care if it was people getting out of Egypt to the drug addict on Skid Row. God still delivers. 2 Corinthians 1:9-10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. He did that and doeth deliver, in whom we trust, and he will yet deliver us. Do you know that you had a sentence of death upon your life the moment that you were born into this life? Did you know that? The sentence of death was pronounced upon you. And you know the only thing that can take that sentence of death off of you is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then with that, that sentence of death is removed because, praise God, it's through Him. And God is our deliverer. It didn't stop that day. He still does it. Praise God. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. From the moment that you accept Jesus Christ, and you stay upon the rock, you stay in the fortress, I want you to know, He will go with you right to the grave. And when you get into the grave, whenever you're crossing Jordan's muddy waters, I want you to know He will be there. He'll be there with hands outstretched, waiting to bring you across and to say, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Have you ever been in a situation where it looked hopeless? Have you ever been there? I've been there. I'm sure lots of us have been there. The enemy has surrounded. He's trying to lay siege on you. You know how they used to lay siege back then on those cities? The enemy would come in and surround the city, and they would not let nothing get in. They were trying to starve the people out. I want you to know something. The devil's trying to lay siege on people today. He's doing it. He's trying to starve them. He's trying to not let them have the Word of God, not letting them pray, all the things he's trying to lay siege on you. But I want you to know something. We don't have to put up with it. We have a deliverer. We have one. Let me say, how does it make you feel when someone messes with your kid? Let me ask you that. How does it make you feel when someone is messing with your child? Make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, maybe? Make your blood boil? Huh? I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. It would me at times. Oh, yeah. If someone is messing with my kids or my grandkids, and you know what? And it's unjust, and it's uncalled for, and it's mean and hateful, it gets us upset, right? You're tempted to grab someone and give them a piece of your mind, right? You probably are. I'm sure you are. How dare you mess with my child? Bible scholars tell us that's the same picture that David painting right here of God. I want you to listen to what he's saying right here in this. David pictured God up on the throne. That's what he did. And he's in heaven. And all of a sudden, God hears the cries of one of his children. One of us Christians. He hears it. And he said, someone is messing with one of his children and is trying to cause him harm. And he said, God gets angry. How dare anyone mess with a child of the living God? This is how David pictured it. If you read down to this, what he's saying. In Psalms 18:7-9, listen to how God's anger is described by David. Then the earth shook and it trembled, and the foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken because of his wrath. There went up a smoke of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. God was angry. That's what David's trying to say here. He said, the enemies are coming in against me. God got angry about it. He said, how? And it was time for God to take action. So in 18:10 and 11, God took action. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion around about him were dark waters, the thick clouds of the sky. Listen to me. God was angry. God was coming down for his child. Because his child was being, something was doing something to one of his children. And David is painting this picture. When I got to studying this, I said, man, that's right. That's what he's saying. That's what's going on here. And I thought, praise God. Listen, folks, if you don't think for 1 minute whenever something happens to us, God does not take notice, he does. And God gets angry whenever someone is doing something to one of his children. Let's go a little farther in Psalms 12 and 16. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightning and discomforted them. David's talking about how the God took care of all the enemies in his life. He sent from above, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. If you go back to verse 4, and I know I'm bouncing a little bit all over the place, it said, the sorrow of death compressed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. David was saying that there was so much going on in his life, it seemed like all the enemies were like a flood rushing in against him. And that's what was going on. You know what God did? It said God simply breathed out of one of his nostrils and blew the enemies away. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I really get excited when I'm thinking about that. Whenever God knows, praise God, what's going on in our life and the enemies are coming against us, it'll just take God just one little breath. And it's gone. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for that? He could do that with just one little breath. And you know what else he did there in verse 17? He said that he reached his hand down and pulled him up. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but God has told me to tell you this. God's hand is extended. He's reaching down. He's willing to lift you up. Lift you up. God is saying, that's the kind of God that David pictured. And praise God, I tell you what, whenever I was reading it and studying it, I could not believe it, what I was reading. Wow, what an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God. We should be thankful that He's on our side. Amen? I'm glad I serve the true and the living God, aren't you? They can have Buddha. They can have all the Hinduism they want. They can have Muhammad. They can have them all. I want the true God. One more thing in verse 28. And I got this in the NIV, verse 28 in this thing. But I'll read it this way, for thou will light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The NIV says, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning, my God turns my darkness into light. Does he not do that? I like it. You know what? Have you ever been out when it was so dark that you could not see in front of your face? Were you ever in a building or in a place where it was so dark, the stars weren't out, the moon wasn't out, it was so dark that you could not see? I think I told you a story before, but I remember one time when I was back home. I was probably about 14 years old. I went to my friend's house. I just walked up the road. He lived about a half mile up the road. And I left after dark, and it was so dark that I could not see. Honestly, I could not see anything. It was so pitch dark. Matter of fact, I couldn't hardly even see my hand from my face. And I come down the road, and I went off to the side. What I did was I got on the road. I knew when I got off because I got over into the grass. I knew that, but I remember how dark it was. But do you know? You know when I come down through there, and of course I got scared. Oh, that'll be the first one in a minute. I took off trying to run. That didn't help the situation any. But anyway, it was so dark I couldn't see. And listen to me. That's kind of what he said. And you know that you're going to run and you're going to run. You don't know what you're going to run into. You know what's going to happen. Darkness can be scary also, right? Especially if you're alone. That's why I am so glad that God is my lamp. Are you not? He turned my darkness into light. Amen? He did that. I'm glad that I no longer travel. I no longer travel on this road of life in the dark. Praise God, I got saved. And I got the love of Jesus Christ in my heart. I don't have to travel on this road in the dark anymore. God radically changed my life. That's what God does through His Son Jesus Christ. I am thankful for that. He radically changed my life. It wasn't something where, you know what, it's just, well, yeah, you know, He radically changed my life. He radically changed it, and praise God for that. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Are you thankful for His word? Are you thankful for that today? Thanks be to God who has given us all this. I'll tell you what. Yes, I believe the first Thanksgiving is when they got on their knees in that ship and thanked God for being over here, getting them here. I believe that was the first Thanksgiving. You know what? As you gather with family and friends this coming Thursday, or whenever it is you have your dinner, some people have already had their Thanksgiving dinners, I know that, for just different reasons. But as you gather, remember, most of all, you know, take a little bit of time from your family. Take a little bit of time from the football and from all the stuff that's going on around and about you. And truly thank God. Truly thank Him. The one that has given us all that we have. Amen. Praise God. Thanks be to God. I know it's not much of a message, but praise God. I am so thankful that David painted the picture. And all we have to do is just dig into the Word and see what he's talking about. And he can lead us to that. They come and get a song.